First up, it's been 50 years since Australia saw one of its most defining moments in the country's political history.
The emissary from the Governor-General,
who dissolves Parliament, usually comes up the front steps of the Parliament to do it. On this occasion, he's had to come by the back passages. Now, I'm certain that when he appears, you will give him the reception he deserves.
Those are the words of the then Prime Minister, Gough Whitlam, following his landmark dismissal by Governor-General Sir John Kerr. It was November 1975, and the Whitlam government had just become the first and only federal government to be dismissed in Australia. Preceding the decision, Leader of the Opposition, Malcolm Fraser, declared their party would block the government's supply or budget in the Senate until an election was called. The dismissal is a moment that many reflect on as one of the most controversial in Australian government. But what political and economic events led to this constitutional crisis? Community Radio Network political reporter Noah Seckham joined me from an event at the Museum of Australian Democracy at Old Parliament House to share new insight 50 years on. It's the 50th anniversary of the dismissal of Gough Whitlam. So what events led to this particular crisis or gridlock, and what did it all mean?
Well, it was a lot of things building up to this one date at the end of 1975, including, obviously, bills and policy that didn't align with what the coalition was going for. Naturally, Labor did not have a majority in the Senate, which is a feature that we see quite often in the modern politics as well. And particular scandals had surfaced throughout the year, including affairs between staff and ministers, and also a loans affair, which is rather confusing, but ultimately was seeing the government reaching out to other countries and attaining and seeking to get money through other countries bypassing Treasury, which is really, really not how the government is supposed to operate. The Labor government also had to deal with the absence of two senators. One passed away in office and one resigned. And instead of the usual process that we see today, where if a senator retires or leaves, a senator from the same party fills their spot, instead we saw two senators being replaced by coalition senators, which meant that the Labor government was lost their majority and control of the Senate, which meant they needed to rely on the coalition, who then blocked their budget from passing in late 1975.
Now, the dismissal clearly is reflected on as a fairly landmark event in the history of Australian politics. So, being at this event today, what are some of the views or attitudes that have emerged around today's 50th anniversary?
Well, it's certainly drawn an interesting crowd of ex-journalists, political staffers, and some, the few remaining ministers from that time as well. And the feeling is a quiet understanding that the Governor General acted out of line, that the way he approached this was not the way it should have been done. We heard some rather scathing opinions and words from former Prime Minister Paul Keating, who just a few weeks before the dismissal had actually gotten his first ministry position. So a bit of a rough month for him at work, so to speak. And he was particularly critical of Sir John Kerr's attitude, recalling a meeting just a week before the dismissal, saying that Gough Whitlam was, you know, pretty comfortable with him. The two of them got along really well. And he said that to see the deception that followed, as he called it, created the most destructive day in political history, in his words.
You did touch on democracy, but expanding on those public perceptions of democracy, how do you think this huge political move potentially filtered down into, you know, the minds of Australians?
Well, it is a very fascinating point, because it's hard to fully imagine what it was like 50 years ago, day to day, reading the papers and getting a sense of the political manoeuvring. If it was to happen today, I think it would be perhaps less surprising, because we would have all this lead up time. We'd be aware of the inner workings of the parties. We'd be so much more across what was developing as it happened. So a lot of the stories are saying that at the time it was just so shocking and surprising, but in the lead up to the election that followed, there was this quiet understanding that obviously the coalition were going to win because Gough Whitlam was quite unpopular at the time. So there's a sense that life went on, as much as shocking as this was in the immediate months and weeks. A lot of journalists and former political advisors all kind of shared their disbelief at how quickly, you know, society moved on. The world, it doesn't fully revolve around politics, you know, individual lives go on.
As a young political reporter, you're heavily exposed to parliamentary process in today's federal parliament. How do you reflect on the impact, you know, 50 years following? What's your view there?
I mean, I do have to agree with a lot of what the senior journalists and political staffers have said throughout today, is that it's been a very long time since we've had three strong characters like Malcolm Fraser, Gough Whitlam and Sir John Kerr in politics, in leadership in Australia. I think having witnessed the past few years of politics at a federal level and the way that the media works today, you know, being 24/7, there's this constant churn of information. It's less surprising when we hear about developments because we're getting updates so often.
As I understand, Whitlam lived through the extended post-war period of growth. He's a prime minister that is reflected on as someone that implemented some progressive reforms, like the introduction of Medicare, then Medibank, equal pay, no-fault divorces, free university education. Why were some of these important for the social landscape of the time, and how has the anniversary acknowledged the significance of these reforms?
Well, it's certainly been a feature. It's impossible, really, to talk about Gough Whitlam without talking about policies that we are still seeing today, still seeing them play out. As you mentioned, Medicare is really that big one that we just went to the last election campaigning on protecting Medicare, and it's something that we've really been aware of for over 40, 50 years now. And a lot of these legacy items, including policies like universal childcare, which didn't really get rolled out at the time, are now becoming the flagships of modern Labor governments. There's a sense that the legacy is being played out in politics today, that under governments with a bit more expertise, a bit more time and a bit more space to really consider what's going on, we're seeing perhaps Gough Whitlam's vision played out. All that to say, though, it was a very tumultuous few years, and the economic situation was really what seemed to hold the Whitlam government back from achieving a lot of these things. At the same time, the introduction of the family court and no-fault divorces and free tertiary education was something that I was speaking with other people that were alive at the time, saying that it was such an equaliser, because something like free tertiary education was really for everyone, but it meant that lower income households, where they had to pick only one child to support through university, and it usually went to the men, now women were given that chance as well. So there's a lot of, I suppose, social equality policies that we have seen established through that time, and we're really living in the era of expertise coming out of that time. It's the impact of that one government is definitely felt in the room today, and a lot of, you know, junior ministers at that time that then went on to become cabinet ministers in the years after, who then inspired the next generation and the people that are currently in politics. Certainly a lot of reflection on the impact, and the question is just whether or not we're going to see something as insane happen again in politics, but it seems like everyone's quite content not to shake things up that much again.
Community Radio Network's political reporter Noah Seckham speaking with me.